Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be here to just worship the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my name is Noble, and I'm the Connections pastor here, and just truly grateful to, we're wrapping up our summer series. I don't know where the summer went. That was just way too fast. Some of you are like, yeah. Some of you are like, I'm still waking up. There's more coffee back there. All right. We began our series in the book of Psalms right after Easter, and here we are wrapping up Psalm 150 this morning, and maybe this is your first time, and I want to welcome you. I'm grateful that you're joining us as we kind of wrap up our series. You're joining us online, and regardless if you've been with us through the whole series or this is the first time that you are with us, I would encourage you to continue to go through the book of Psalms. Always continue to stay in God's word. We just scratched the surface going through this summer on just hitting a handful of Psalms throughout the book of 150, and there is just so much here. And as I've had an opportunity to study along with all of you, I have been so encouraged. And even this week, as Dave said, him and I were sitting down as I was going through and preparing, and to learn something new about the Jewish tradition of going through every morning they begin reading Psalm 146 through 150. Some of them have memorized and they recite it every morning, or they're reading it every morning. And I was even just talking to Dave again, and I was just like, looking back at myself, and it's like, man, there are some mornings where I'm like, oh, I'm just too busy, or I'll get to it later, God, I'll open your word later, or I'll spend time in prayer later. And then what happens? Later never comes. And then we forget the things of this world, life. We get busy with children, with work, figuring out what you're going to make for dinner or whatever extracurricular activities we have to get to. But I just love the sweet reminder and also the challenge to continue to wake up every morning and set ourselves up for success by beginning in simply prayer and just reading his word. What a sweet reminder. And so if you have your Bibles with you, we are going to be in Psalm 150 this morning, as we've talked about. And as I was studying, it was so, I loved reading. And so Psalm 145, it begins with a header, a song of praise of David. And so this is kind of the last psalm that we have attributed to David here in the book of Psalms, because we get to Psalm 146 through 150, and there is no header there. There is no header there. And so Psalm 146, 147, and 148 are written by the minor prophets Haggai and Zechariah. And then Psalm 149 and 150 are anonymous. That's where they really, that's where we land. We believe that they're anonymous. So they're written by a psalmist as kind of ending the book of Psalms here. But 146 through 150 is really written kind of as a collection to be read together, as the psalm is ending, the book of Psalms is ending, and it is ending with praising the Lord. That is what a psalm is. It is a song, it is a poem written to the Lord, glorifying the Lord. And so Psalm 146 through 150, we see time and time again the header, and it ends with praise the Lord. The beginning and end verse of every 146 through 150 is praise the Lord. And so if you got your Bibles, if you're taking notes, here's a real simple thing that you can star, you can underline. It's the reminder that we are called to praise the Lord. It may seem so simple, but how often do we forget to do this in our daily routine? To simply take time to intentionally praise the Lord, to praise the Lord for who he is, for what he has done. And that is exactly what is happening here in Psalm 146 through 150. And as we dive into 150 this morning, we are going to go through and just see how the psalmist continues to point back to the Lord, to praising the Lord for all that he has done and for all that he will do and what is to come when Jesus comes back victoriously to rule and reign forever. So I'm gonna open up in prayer, and then we're gonna dive into verse one this morning. So God, we just come before you, Father, and we just want to praise you, Lord. God, I thank you for this place. I thank you for the privilege it is to open up your word, to boldly stand here as your children, as a congregation, and sing praises to you, Father, for what you have done through sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. We are so separated, so broken from you, Lord. You sent Jesus, and through his death and resurrection, Lord, we have life. We have hope, we have joy, and we have the privilege and the opportunity to just turn back and praise you for all that you have done. So, Father, would you just be with us this morning? God, would it be your words, not mine? And Lord, may you just truly be praised in all that we do. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we begin in Psalm 150, verse 1. We read, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens." Now, as we are going through these six verses, I love that 13 times the author writes the word praise. 13 times in six verses. If you don't know, I would say that an easy theme for this psalm is praise, praising the Lord. And so he begins and the author says, "Praise God in his sanctuary." And so beginning in a position, a location where we see the Lord beginning with his sanctuary. And at this time, they have the temple that was built. Before that, we know that when the people of Israel were going through the wilderness, they would set up the tabernacle. And so we would have his sanctuary where the Lord would dwell, where the people would come to this physical place to praise and worship, to make sacrifices to the Lord in his sanctuary here on earth. And so we go to Psalm 24. And in Psalm 24, beginning in verse 1 through 2, David writes, he says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." We go back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, the Lord created the earth. The earth is the Lord's. And so the author begins with pointing to praise God where? Well, praise God in his sanctuary here on earth, looking to praising the Lord in the temple for them, for us, praising the Lord. Here we have this incredible warehouse. I had a fun opportunity this week. My friends from the camp I spoke at up in East Jordan, they came down here. They were going on a little vacation, and they kind of made a loop, and they stopped by to say hi, and I had the privilege to walk them through. And I love whenever people come to our church for the first time. They were just amazed to see this massive warehouse and to walk them through how we built this wall, and remembering Pastor Caleb and Pastor Ryan and myself painting this ceiling, and I think we still have paint in our lungs from that chaos, and just walking them through, showing our kids area and our nursery, and they're just amazed. And it's like, yeah, it's just a building that was a furniture warehouse, and now we have repurposed it to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord in, and what a privilege it is. And then the author continues, he says, "Praise him in his mighty heavens." So we were looking at earth, now looking to the heavens, saying, "Praise him in his heavens." And so we go to Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, David writes, Beginning in verse 19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." And so beginning here in the beginning of Psalm 150, looking to where are we called to praise the Lord? Everywhere. Here on earth and in the heavens, praising the Lord, praising God for who he is, for what he has done, because he is the creator and the author of everything. So yes, in his sanctuary here on earth and in the mighty heavens, praise him. There is nowhere, no location. I love in Psalm 139 how David writes how there is nowhere we can go from the Lord's presence, right? Talking about his omnipresence, how there he is everywhere all at once. There is nowhere we can go to escape him. And with that, we are called to praise him everywhere. Everything is called to praise him. Continuing in verse 2. Says, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his great excellence. And so I love this verse too, because we go through the Psalms and we've gone through so many this summer, and it's looking to the Lord's mighty deeds. And time again throughout the Psalms, we have some historical Psalms, they are called, that again look back to the people of Israel's history, and pointing to the Lord's goodness, his faithfulness to the people of Israel. And through that, his mighty deeds and his greatness and his works that he did and his kindness and mercy he showed to his people. And Psalm 78 is a historical psalm, and it works through Egypt, through David's reign over the people of Israel. And we see the people of Israel's unfaithfulness. We see their sin and their disobedience to the Lord. However, in their history, in their disobedience, in their unfaithfulness, in their sin, in their turning away from the Lord, he is steadfast. He is faithful. He is merciful. He reconciles and redeems his people to him. And that's what Psalm 78 looks to, the Lord's goodness, his mighty deeds in redeeming and reconciling his people. In Psalm 105 looks at the Abrahamic covenant, and then again in Egypt and again the wilderness, praising the Lord for his redemption, for his faithfulness, for his reconciliation in their lives, his mighty works. It was nothing that the people of Israel did to save themselves. Even as they saw the mighty works of the Lord, right? And they continue to look back to Egypt because, hey, that was incredible. That was amazing, the Lord rescuing, redeeming his people out of slavery. But then it didn't stop there. And he continues on. And in Psalm 136 recounts the Lord's faithfulness to his people through crossing the Red Sea, through providing for them in the wilderness. Again, these things that happened to the people of Israel was not because of their hard work. It was not because they were so good. It was not because they had the power or they had the ability. No, it was because of the mighty deeds of the Lord, because of his goodness, his faithfulness, his steadfastness to his people, that they were redeemed, that they crossed over the Red Sea, that they were provided for in the wilderness, that they were able to conquer so many in the promised land, not because of their ability, but because of the Lord. And so the psalmist is pointing back and saying, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And it is a call for the people of Israel to look back at their history, to look back at what the Lord has done and never forget. I think it is very purposeful that David continued to point back in his songs, in his poems, to what the Lord has done and thanking him for that and ultimately praising him for his good works. I talked about at the beginning of this morning about how easy it is for us to wake up every day and just get busy And if there's one thing that I have continued to see as a theme throughout the book of Psalms, it's may we never forget what the Lord has done. May we continue to look back to him and give thanks. How hard is it to tell someone at the grocery store or at a fast food restaurant or maybe a sit-down restaurant, thank you? Is it hard to say those words, thank you, church? No, it's not hard. Two words. But how often do we forget to say it to our Heavenly Father? How often do we forget to look to him and thank him for every second that we have breath in our lungs, that we can take another step? It's not because of something we have done, not something that we deserve, not because we're so good or we're so strong. It's because of the Lord's greatness, because of his faithfulness and his love for us, that we can simply be here every moment at a time, yet we so easily forget to look back, to praise him and to thank him for what he has done. And so the psalmist cries out, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then we get into some fun parts, maybe for some of you who are musicians and some of you who just love praise and worship. In verses 3-5, the psalmist writes, praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. As a drummer, I love verse 5 the most. It's something that has gotten me in the most trouble, and I don't know why they eventually got this box up here. I prefer it out in the open, but I know it's a little too loud. But hey, Psalm 150 tells us to do it really loud. Really loud. Says clashing cymbals. But he's writing about the call to use these instruments. And as we go throughout the Old Testament, instruments are so important. The instruments are used. We see them as they're going around Jericho and blowing the trumpet. We see Gideon as he conquers with 300 men. We see the trumpets. We see this throughout the tabernacle. We see this at feasts and celebrations as the people of Israel are called. And there's a passage in particular that I really love. It's in the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah in chapter 12. So Nehemiah has this call, is stirring up from the Lord to go and rebuild the wall. And in Nehemiah chapter 12, the wall has just been completed. And beginning in verse 27, it says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem, celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals and harps and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from district surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages and also from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the walls. And so what's happening here is the people are coming together for this great celebration, this dedication, this setting apart of the wall and purifying themselves and setting themselves apart to the Lord. And they are using these instruments and singing and praising the Lord for who he is, for what he has done in this celebration. Again, dedicating and setting themselves aside, consecrating themselves to the Lord. And here the psalmist writes in Psalm 150 to praise him again with these same instruments that we see that the people of Israel use time and time again. And it's amazing they were using this, right? We're kind of looking, we're going back to the Old Testament. We're looking to the temple. We're looking to the wall. We're looking to the Levites who were used to lead the people spiritually. That was their position in the people. The Levites would lead them as the priests in these dedications, in these gatherings, if you will, as they read the word of the Lord. But here we are in 2026, and what does that mean for us looking to the temple, looking to consecrating the temple, looking to setting ourselves aside for the Lord? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing, and beginning in verse 16, Paul writes, "Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." And then again in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. We're going to back it up to verse 19 because it's so good. In verse 19, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." And so here in Psalm 150, what's happening is the psalmist is taking these instruments and praising the Lord, looking back to praising him with these instruments that have been used for centuries to dedicate the temple, to purify the people, to consecrate themselves to the Lord. And for me, it was just such a sweet reminder, looking at what Jesus has done on the cross. And here we are. We are not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but guess what, church? We are the temple. We are God's temple, walking around each and every single day. We don't have to any longer come to a structure. We don't have to come to a place where we can go ahead and praise him in that place. We don't have to go to the tabernacle to praise him, to make sacrifices, to pray to the Lord, to speak to the priests. No, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We ourselves are walking around the temple of the living God. And you know what that means? Wherever you go, you are called to and you have the ability to praise the Lord wherever you are. Whether that means you pick up a tambourine and you just want to start singing and praising him, you pick up that tambourine. It's a lot easier here, all right? It's easy for us to get up. Got the lights kind of dimmed. Got a little bit of fog going on. We got a killer band. Some awesome voices up here worshiping. And then we get to stand up and you're like, you know what? Maybe you're like me and you're the shower singer, right? You're the shower singer or the I'm on a car ride alone singer. But when we get in here, hey, you know what? I'm sitting next to someone new. I don't know them. Lights are dim. I can sing here. Because guess what? We're all singing together. And yes, we're called to all sing together. But I want to encourage you, praise him, sing to him wherever you are. Because guess what? The Lord, thankfully, is not looking to a tune. He is not looking to a note. He is not critiquing how many times I drop my sticks, how many beats I may miss, how many notes you may fail to hit in that song. No, you know what the Lord is looking to? He's looking to your heart. He's hearing you truly pour out praise to him. And that is what we are called to do, to praise him wherever we are. With any opportunity we have to praise him with instruments, to praise him with singing. That's what Psalms is all about. It's a compilation of poems and songs. And so here we are ending in Psalm 150, talking about singing and playing instrumentally, intentionally, as the people of Israel have used these instruments for centuries. And throughout God's word, we hear of these instruments being played. Why? Because it's meant to be music to the Lord, praising, looking back to him, to truly praise him in song and with instrument for what he has done. And then we come to this incredible, if you're a music person, crescendo. That's a music term. It means something really big, the kind of big finale type thing, all right? So we come to the end, and the psalmist declares in verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord," and then ends, "Praise the Lord." I love how the psalmist ends very intentionally with this verse, because it is not just speaking about the here and now. It is looking to the future. It is looking to the coming reign of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I love how Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. We read, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him," Jesus, "and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What Paul is declaring is that, guess what? It does not matter what happens here on this earth. It does not matter what Satan thinks that he can do, what little power he has. At the end of the day, when Jesus triumphantly comes back and returns and calls us home, those of us who have declared Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, everyone and everything that has breath will declare Jesus Christ Lord. There is no exception to that passage. There is no exception to that truth. Everyone will declare Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. What a joy that is. What a comfort, what a privilege that we, his children, we get to declare it freely every single Sunday. We come here to this place. Every Wednesday we go to our growth communities, or you fill in the blank when you go. But we have the privilege every single day of our lives, wherever we are, as the walking temple of the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have the privilege to declare Jesus Lord and Savior every single moment of every single day. How often do we do that? I know there's been countless days where I don't even think about it because I'm just too busy. Busy prepping for a sermon, busy prepping for a growth community, busy prepping for one of our outreaches, busy just taking care of the kids. Yet I don't take the time to just pause and just praise him for being Lord and Savior. Praise him for conquering death, hell, and the grave so that I can have life, so that I can take every moment of every single day freely. And not have to worry about what happens if today is my last day, because I know that my home is with Jesus, that he has prepared a place for me, that I am guaranteed eternity because of what Jesus Christ has done. But how often do I just forget to praise him, to simply declare his name and declare him Savior of our world? And so, as we wrap up this series of Psalms, which is so weird to say, because I feel like even though we've spent a whole summer, which feels like so long, I feel like we could spend another summer and another after that going through the book of Psalms. But first and foremost, I want to encourage you. And I want to lovingly tell you that if you have not taken that step of obedience, and you have not truly declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't wait another moment. Every moment that we have is because of him. The breath in our lungs is because of his mighty deeds, because of his excellent greatness. Every second that we are standing here alive is because of the Lord. So don't leave here today without declaring him the Lord of your life. You know, I got to be honest with you, church. I think the reason that having breath and praising the Lord is just so near is, you know, my wife and I, we had a little, I don't say this to get anything back. I'm just sharing with you why it's just so important to thank him for every single moment we have. We had a little scare this week with our daughter, and it was, but through it, God's faithfulness was with us every step of the way, in lining up one of our best friends to be there in the house with us. And babies have this weird thing where they can have a scare spell, and so they just stop breathing for a few seconds. And that's what happened with Penny this past week. And it was wild for us to experience, but through it, God was so faithful, and she's good. She's happy, she's crying, she's crawling all over, she's walking, my goodness. It's like she's not even 11 months, and she's running and walking all over. You know, but it puts you in this mindset of thanking God for every single breath we have, and that we so flippantly forget to thank him for every day we have. And so, church, I just want to share that if you have not declared Jesus your Lord and Savior, don't go another day, because we are not guaranteed anything. We are not guaranteed anything in this life. But if we call upon the name of the Lord, if we just confess, as Romans 10:9 tells us, and we repent of our sins, we are saved. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have hope, we have joy, and we have the privilege to just look back and praise him and thank him for who he is and what he has done. And so if you have not truly confessed him, do not wait another moment. I'll stay here as long as Pastor Caleb will stay here as long as we need to walk with you, to share with you the gospel, to what it looks like to truly confess him Lord of your lives. Because that is where we must begin. That is the most important beginning. That is the only, the greatest decision of your life, is confessing Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And here's the flip side of it. Whether you do it now, as you have breath in your lungs, or if you decide to not, and you're just gonna walk away from him forever, and you're never gonna declare him Lord of your lives, one day you are going to say it. You will declare him Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So why wait? Why say I don't wanna do it? The only thing that's gonna happen is your life is going to be immeasurably changed. And you are going to experience a peace and a joy and a hope that surpasses all understanding. The greatest gift ever. And all we have to do is simply say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm sorry for running. Be Lord of my life. And so that's why I want, first and foremost, if you have not done that, do that. But secondly, I know I've said it, but I've just been so challenged. May we truly praise the Lord, church. In everything that we do, with every breath that we have, may we live a life that is glorifying to God. May we live a life that praises him for his goodness, for his great deeds. Praise him in his sanctuary. And may we praise him, yeah, with the instruments, with our singing. Hit those cymbals louder. But every moment, every opportunity, when you think of it, when you're walking through in the highs and the lows of life, praise him, church. May it become a part of our daily routine as his children, that we would truly look to him and that we would praise the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, church. And as Dave and I were going over the gathering this morning and just prepping for this week, you know, we just wanted to end this series, this book of Psalms, to come together as a church, as his people, and read Psalm 150 together, as we just kind of put a capstone on this, to end on the high note of what? Praise the Lord. That is where we want to end. That is where we want to stay. And that is what we want to take forward from this series. So if you would read with me, church, it's going to be up on the screen. And we're going to begin in Psalm 50, verse 1. And we begin, it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.